Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
What is the Bible? Who wrote the Bible?
The church will continue to be even more irrelevant when it quotes letters from 2,000 years ago.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, is where our trouble began.
This sounds to me like the voice of someone who really has an appalling ignorance of what the Bible says about itself and what Jesus said about it.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Tell the story again, Uncle Ray. Tell the story again.
I said, many years ago, I heard that a new Christian was going to have an abortion. I said, when? They said, this afternoon. So I grabbed a car and drove like a maniac about 6 miles into town, went into the hospital, second floor, ran into a room and said, please don't do this. And she just looked at me and smiled. She'd already had a pre-operation medication. And she smiled and says, oh, it's okay. I'm not going to have an abortion. I just prayed, God, if you don't want me to have an abortion, make Ray Comfort come up and see me. Didn't have to say a word, so I left. And then 2 years later, we're at a church picnic, and I saw this same woman, and there's a little child beside her playing in the grass, and I bent down, and it was the little girl that was going to be killed, and the issue kind of hammered home in my heart what it's about.
Excellent.
Yeah, I was so encouraged.
Oh, Trish, where are you?
Yeah, I'm at a college campus, one of my favorite community colleges to be on, and I walked right on the campus. The very first guy that I asked...
He's an 11-year-old... Muslim who doesn't speak English.
Yeah, no, you're off the hook for that. But I walked up to this nice young man, and I gave him a little spiel, and he's like, wow. He's like, I'm actually in a really interesting place in my life right now. And I said, okay, why do you say that? He said, well, I just came out of the closet recently, and I was raised Christian. I let my parents know, and they're taking it pretty well. My mom's taking it hard, but my dad's doing a little bit better. And so he does call himself a Christian, but he doesn't go to church because he feels more comfortable reading his Bible at home instead of reading it at church. He's a dance major, and he hopes to go. You want to be on what's that show called?
American
So You
Idol?
Think You Can Dance? I don't watch it, but he wants to be on that show one day. So You Think You Can Dance? So he's a dance major, hopes to be a choreographer. Huh. His name is Andrew.
It's the Clay Aiken story. All right, Ray, are you going to bring up the issue of homosexuality?
Not yet.
Why not?
Because I want to speak to his conscience about other things and show him that he is in big trouble without even touching his sexual orientation.
Are you being a coward?
No, I'm being sensible because I know he's ready, and I want to get to his conscience first.
And there's plenty of sins to show that he's condemned without bringing up a very sensitive issue. All right. Check out the website of fishwithtrish.com, fishwithtrish.com. Boy, hey, Trish, how's about those kids with their T-shirts and their hats last week?
T-shirts and hats last week.
Do you remember the message that was on
horrible.
Them?
Horrible. You know what I didn't know how to do, you guys? I didn't know how to, on my Photoshop thing, how to smudge out the bad words. So I had to have a friend do it. But yeah, hour one, I had a guy with a horrible profanity on his hat. And then hour two, the same profanity on his T-shirt. A different guy.
Different guy. They didn't even know each other. What is
I have met a guy with that profanity on his chin. He had it tatted on his chin. He came into my office. He says, I can't get a job.
No kidding. Good thinking with that one. All righty, visit fishwithtrish.com. Don't worry, she won't put up the pictures if they're vulgar. Yikes. What has this world come to? Fishwithtrish.com. All right, Trish, let's give it a go, shall we?
Okay, Andrew, you're live on radio.
Hello.
Hello, Andrew. Thanks for coming on the program.
Hi. How you doing?
Really good. Andrew, what happens when someone dies? Where do they go?
Well, actually, right now, I have no idea. I'm actually struggling with that.
Well, it's good to struggle with it because eternity is a long time, and all of us think about the issues of life and death. Do you enjoy life?
Yes, I enjoy life a lot.
Are you afraid of dying?
No, actually, I'm not afraid of dying. I think that dying is just the next part of your eternal adventure, if you will.
Yeah. So where are you going when you die?
Well, hopefully there is a heaven, and that's where I'll go if I live my life the right way.
So you think you're good enough to go to heaven?
I would hope so.
Are you a good person?
I consider myself a very good person.
Okay, well, let's have a little test to see where you're going, because this is such an important issue, Andrew. How many lies have you told in your whole life?
That's an interesting question.
Isn't it? It is an interesting question.
I would say I've told my fair share of lies.
So, what, 10, 20, 100, 1,000?
Oh, at least 1,000, I'm sure.
Okay, what do you call someone who tells lies?
A liar.
Have you ever stolen anything in your whole life, even if it's small?
No, I have not.
Hey, just told me you're a liar, Andrew. Come on. In your whole life, even if it's small, irrespective of its value, something belongs to somebody else.
I have never stolen in my entire life that I am fully aware of.
So there were times when you stole when you weren't aware of it?
I don't know.
Okay.
If I wasn't aware of it, then I wouldn't know about it. Now, would
sleep
I?
Warning, kleptomaniac. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yes.
I appreciate your honesty, Andrew. That's called blasphemy. You know, God gave you life, which is the greatest gift you could ever receive, and he's lavished his goodness upon you, and you took his holy name and used it as a cuss word to express disgust, which is called blasphemy. It's so serious in God's eyes, the Old Testament demands the death sentence for blasphemy. Now, Jesus said if you look with lust, sexual desire at someone, you commit adultery in your heart. Have you ever looked at anyone with lust?
Yes, I have.
Okay, so you have violated that commandment. So, Andrew, have you honored your father and mother all your life?
Yes, I have.
Well, not really, because you're a self-admitted liar, a blasphemer, and an adulterer at heart. So you've slurred their good name by committing those sins. So you have dishonored your parents. Have you ever been disobedient to your parents or spoken to them disrespectfully?
I have at some point.
Okay, so you've blown the fifth commandment. So bearing in mind that you violated the fifth commandment, the seventh, and the third and the ninth, as a liar, a blasphemer, an adulterer at heart, and dishonoring your parents, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty on the day of judgment of violating God's law, the Ten Commandments?
I honestly believe that everyone will be considered guilty of violating God's law on the day of judgment.
Okay, will you go to heaven or hell?
If I have given my heart to Jesus, then I should go to heaven, shouldn't I?
No, not really, because the Bible doesn't even speak about giving your heart to Jesus. It's kind of a myth of the modern church. You won't find that phrase in Scripture. There's two things you have to do to be saved from God's wrath. And Andrew, if you died in your sins, if you died today, you've got God's promise that you'd go to hell. It says all liars live their part in the lake of fire. No blasphemer will inherit God's kingdom. No adulterer. No one who's dishonored his parents. So you're in big trouble if you die in your sins, huh?
Yes, sir.
So what are you going to say to God? You know, you said you're a good person, and you've turned out that you're not. What can you do?
I suppose I need to repent.
Well, that even won't help you. Did you realize that? A lot of people think all I have to do is repent. But if you think of a court of law where a man's committed rape and murder, and he says to the judge, "Judge, I'm guilty, but I'm not going to do it again." The judge would say, "So what? You shouldn't do it again." And he'll throw the book at him. So being sorry for your crimes and saying you won't do it again, which is like repentance, won't help you on the day of judgment. So what are you going to do, Andrew? I don't want you to end up in hell. This is a terrible situation. What can you do to justify yourself in the sight of a holy God?
I don't know.
Well, fortunately, the Bible says God is rich in mercy, and God became a person, Jesus Christ, and he gave his life on that cross, taking the punishment for your sins, for your lying, for your blasphemy, for your unclean sexual thoughts, for dishonoring your parents. Jesus took the punishment. It was a legal transaction. You broke God's law, and Jesus paid your fine in his life's blood. And now God can freely dismiss your case. He can acquit you from the courtroom because of the suffering, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There are two things you have to do, Andrew. The first thing is repent. You're right about that, but that won't save you. The second thing is you must put your trust alone in Jesus Christ. Not in yourself, but in him. You know how you were trusting in your goodness to save you on the day of judgment? Well, transfer that trust from yourself to the Savior. The minute you do that, God will forgive all your sins, all of them. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, so if you died today, where would you go if you die without Jesus Christ? You go to hell. What do you have to do to be saved? Do you remember the two things?
I have to repent and put my trust in Jesus.
Okay, now when you do that, you've got to bring forth a lifestyle that's pleasing in the sight of God. That means you've got to live in holiness, no hypocrisy. When you're a Christian, no lying, no stealing, no blasphemy, no lust, no fornication, no sin that's abhorrent to God, and that includes homosexuality. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 says, "Homosexuals will not inherit the kingdom of God, neither adulterers or thieves or liars or fornicators." So you've got to come clean with all your sins, not just some of them, but all of them, because if you don't, you're going to be like a ship with one hole in its hull. It'll only be a matter of time until it sinks. So it means entire repentance of all sin. That makes sense?
Yes.
God will make you a new creature and give you a new heart with new desires. Todd, would you like to talk to Andrew?
Hey, Andrew, how do you do?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm good. What are you thinking right now?
Thinking a lot right now.
Yeah? Yeah, like what?
It's a heavy sentence to put on somebody.
Yeah, it is. It is. Have you ever heard this saying from Jesus? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul?
I've never heard that.
Yeah, that's what Jesus asked. You know, we sometimes think that other things are more important or more pleasurable, at least for a season they appear to be, but Jesus asked the question, and it's a deep one. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his very soul? Because it's possible, Andrew, that your soul might be required of you this very day. So, Andrew, all we can do is beg you, oh, please think about these things. Please consider your eternal state. You know yourself better than anybody else does. You know how you're living, what you're thinking, what you're doing, and you know what will happen on Judgment Day. And God offers you forgiveness and everlasting life, but you've got to repent and put your trust in Him. So will you please ponder that today?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, it was a pleasure to meet you.
Pleasure to meet you also.
All right. Goodbye, Andrew.
Goodbye.
This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for being here today. We always appreciate that you choose to spend part of your day with us here at Wretched Radio. We are also very grateful to our gospel partners, the folks who, well, let wretched be wretched. They partner with us to save the lost. Would you prayerfully consider today becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner? Wretched.org/donate has all the details. Yep, we're a 501c3 nonprofit, so all your gifts are tax deductible. And we are a member in good standing with the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. So there are folks keeping track of what we do with the money. We do work hard to be good stewards with your money. Right now, 83% of every dollar you give goes straight to ministry work. Ministry work preaching the gospel, equipping others to preach and defend the gospel, and strengthening the local church. Would you join us and add us to your prayer list? Wretched.org/donate. Wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
First, the good news from the Philippines.
Every day in the whole Philippines, there are thousands of new believers being baptized. There are many churches that are being planted right now. The church is strong here and ready to carry on the Great Commission.
That's excellent news, but there is some bad news.
A Bible study leader is not able to provide Bibles for them because he himself do not have any support for the ministry. He's having a hard time even to find his transportation going to the Bible study.
That's not good at all, but it gets worse, I'm afraid.
Filipinos cannot afford to buy a Bible because poverty, and they are very much engrossed trying to make a living for their family. So no more funds to buy a Bible.
You and I can change that for just $5 per Bible with Bible League International. We can bless our brothers and sisters in the Philippines. How many Bibles could you send? Wretched.org/Bible. Wretched.org/Bible.
So you're on your computer and you decide to watch a video of John MacArthur. And the next thing you know, it's 3 a.m. and you're deep in YouTube videos of a baby giraffe trying to stand up. Hey, been there, done that. Instead of watching random videos and losing all sense of time, visit wretched.org. Hundreds of hours there of biblically based TV and radio and a library full of hand-picked content specifically for you. So the next time you're wandering about the web watching giraffe videos, visit the home of all things wretched, wretched.org.
People love to question the divinity of Jesus Christ. Phil Johnson, what would be one proof that Jesus Christ is God?
The calendar is based on him.
That's a pretty big proof, but we have compiled 21 more proofs Jesus is God in a booklet titled The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. You know somebody who needs to know Jesus. Get your copies. Terrific evangelistic booklet. Wretched.org/22.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Physician. Jesus healed many physical ailments during his ministry on earth. When he comes again, He will put an end to death and disease and give us spiritual bodies to last for eternity.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
All right. You witnessed to Andrew, the man who just came out of the closet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was as nice as you can. I know you, Ray.
Yeah,
that's
you're
as
right.
nice as you can be.
That's as nice as I can
And that's
get.
Very. That's plenty nice. That's enough nice. Mm-hmm. But people were kind of crabby with Ray, huh? All right, little persecution for you, Comfort.
As long as there's no stones around, I'm fine.
All righty, let's check in with Trishan, shall we? Hello, Trishan. All right, so Trish, what did happen with Andrew?
Yeah, well, we got off the air, and he totally wanted to hear me out, and I asked him his thoughts, and he said, well, I feel even worse than I did when I got on, and he explained why, and he said, not only am I in trouble for my homosexuality, but I am for lying and blaspheming and all these other things. And I told him, I said, Andrew, and he was just very kind, and I go, listen, I said, I want to be honest with you. I'm glad that you feel worse, and this is why. You should. You should feel bad because that's God's law. Listen, we can set aside the homosexuality, and all you've got to look at is the fact that you've told a lie. You know, James 2:10 says that if you've told one lie, you've violated basically all of God's law. And so I give him the good news, and he goes, but I do love the Lord. I do love him. I go, if you loved him, you would show up by repenting and turning from your sin. And I said, listen, and then I quoted, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And he could not accept that. I go, do you believe that? Do you believe what Jesus said, that he is the only way and no one comes to the Father but by him? And he goes, no.
And he doesn't. Then he doesn't love that Jesus.
That's right. Then how do you love that Jesus if you don't love his very words? So I challenge him to go home, read the words of Jesus, and examine himself, and repent. But he couldn't accept that. You guys
Thanks,
ready for
Trishan.
Devin? Devin's here, and he's the next guy that's going to be on the radio. And he was raised Mormon, has been baptized Mormon, but kind of rejects it in a way. And he says that all the Mormons keep their daughters away from him because they don't want them marrying Devin. So he kind of says he's Mormon, just really not sure, and not sure what religion to follow or what God is true.
So Jack
That's
Mormon,
Devin.
Isn't it, right?
Yeah, let me do that.
Well,
one.
Isn't that
you
what it's
just
called?
Stole my thunder.
There's
I was going
to no thunder
show.
To steal. Well, I'm just,
you know,
I couldn't remember.
You know the big words, and I know something, and you just took it from me.
Well, Ray knew the word Jack Mormon.
Right. Thank you.
All righty. All righty. Are we happy now?
I'm happy.
Can you practice some patience with Devin, the Jack Mormon?
I'm going to be as nice as I can.
All righty. Let's give it a go, shall we?
Okay, Devin. All right, here we go.
Apologize for all of this.
Hey, Ray, how are we doing?
Hi, Devin. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, sir. About to go to a football meeting here in a little bit.
Oh, good. Well, we won't keep you too long, Devin. Thanks for coming on the program. Appreciate it. So, you have a background in Mormonism?
Yeah, actually. I was baptized a Mormon at the age of 9, and I followed it till I was about 13. And I left my mother. I left staying with my mother. She's actually Mormon. My father is a devout Catholic. So, go ahead.
So, would you consider yourself to be a Jack Mormon? Is that what it's called?
Yes. And I simply told Trish, that is what I'm considered down there, is, a Mormon who maybe no longer quite follows to, perfection, what regular Mormons are.
So let's just put Mormon aside for a moment and just see what you believe. Do you think, what thing happens after someone dies, Devin?
After someone dies?
Yeah.
Really? I think nothing happens, because once you die, you're dead. Your brain processes stop, all that.
Hey, I know a lot of people whose brain processes have already stopped, but they're not dead. Are you sure about this? This is a huge issue. If you're wrong, you're in big trouble. So if there is a heaven, do you think you're good enough to make it?
That's just it. I kind of have different views than most people do. I used to strongly believe in the Bible. I mean, because it's not just, one person who believed in him. It wouldn't just be my parents who believed in God, It's everyone around me, my friends.
So,
my
Devin,
friend's friends.
If there is a heaven, do you think you're good enough to go there? Are you a good person?
No, sir, I'm not.
So you violated the Ten Commandments?
more than once.
Which ones are you broken? Come on. Have you lied and stolen?
Yeah, actually I have.
I appreciate your honesty, Devin. So you're a lying thief?
No, I'm an honest thief. I didn't say anything about lying.
So have you lied in your life?
No, when we define lie as saying, to a little kid that 1 + 1 really doesn't equal 2. Yeah.
When did you do that?
It was just really for a small laugh. He didn't believe me.
Yeah. So have you lied in your life?
Yeah, I have.
Okay. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yeah, I have.
Okay. Do you realize what you're doing? You're taking the holy name of the God that gave you life and using his name as a cuss word, which is considered or called blasphemy, which is very serious in his sight. Jesus said, if you look at a woman and lust for her, that is, you desire her sexually, you commit adultery with her in the heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Yes, and I do that a lot here on campus.
Yeah. Have you honored your parents?
Honored? Oh, yeah. Yeah, many things.
No, you haven't. You're a lying thief. How can that be honorable to your parents' name? Imagine that if it came out in the paper. Devin's a lying thief. What would that do to your parents?
They would probably laugh and say, hey, you know, it is what it is.
Well, it's when we do anything that's dishonoring to our parents' name, we violate that fifth commandment. So here's a little summation, Devin. You're like the rest of us. You're a lying, thieving, blasphemous, adulterate heart. You've dishonored your parents. And have you put God first in your life? That's the first commandment, to have no other gods before him, to love him above all else. Have you put him first in your life?
I don't think I have. Honestly, no. I think I've been a lot, really, really selfish lately.
Okay, so you've broken the first commandment. It sounds like you've broken the second, because you don't have an image of God that you want to obey. You're probably
these aren't windows, yeah?
Yeah, well, I had an image of God before I was a Christian. I created a God I felt comfortable with. So bearing in mind you're a lying thief, blasphemer, who hasn't put God first, dishonored your parents, on Judgment Day, if God judges you by the Ten Commandments, do you think you'll be innocent or guilty?
I'm pretty sure I'll be very guilty.
Sir. Would you go to heaven or hell?
Well, based upon from breaking all those commandments and his views on everything, yeah, I'd go straight to hell. Wouldn't even be no trial.
Does that concern you?
Not really. I mean, if that's what it really turns out to be, then yeah, you know, I will be concerned and be like, you know, well, why didn't I really listen to my elders and, you know, follow everything just like the Bible instructed?
Then, yeah, I hear you.
Since I really don't follow the Bible like that, then no, it doesn't concern me.
You know, I don't know if you've ever
felt... Do you
get
where I'm coming from here?
Yeah, I can hear where you're coming from. I want to bring some sobriety to you just for a second, if I may, and it may sound like a weird analogy, but have you ever had... sat in a dentist chair and had the dentist hit a raw nerve?
I'm sorry, just once more, just a little bit the accent there.
Yeah, sorry. Have you ever sat in a dentist chair and had the dentist get his drill and touch a raw nerve in your tooth?
Oh, yeah. I had a dentist who left a needle in my mouth for over 3 minutes, and it was very painful.
Okay, did you like it?
Oh, no.
Okay, now we're talking about a place called hell that Jesus said would be a place of suffering and pain to a point where you'd gnash teeth. And it's a horrible thought that God would treat us according to our sins from his point of view of holiness. So, man, you should be very, very concerned that if you died today, if your heart gave out or you had an aneurysm in your sleep and you woke up dead and had to stand before a holy God who's going to reveal all the secret sins of your heart, not the ones we've just spoken about, but those unclean, deep inner thoughts that God has seen. So, Devin, do you know what God did for you so you wouldn't have to go to hell?
What God did for me or Jesus did for me?
Well, God did something incredible for you. God became a person, Jesus of Nazareth, and Jesus gave his life on the cross, taking the punishment for all those sins that you have committed. It was a legal transaction. You broke God's law, and Jesus paid your fine in his life's blood. That means because of the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God can dismiss your case. You can leave the courtroom. God can allow you to live because Jesus paid your fine. And what you have to do in response to that is repent and trust in him. That is, turn from all your sin and trust in him alone for your salvation. Devin, the moment you do that, God will forgive every sin you've ever committed and give you the gift of everlasting life. Now, do you believe I've spoken the truth?
From what you truly believe, yeah, I do. That doesn't seem fair to me, you know. Let me ask you a scenario question here.
Well, ask my friend Todd.
Repented.
Hang on. Devin, ask my friend Todd, who would like to answer it.
Hey, Devin, how do you do?
Hey, Todd, I'm doing great.
I've been eavesdropping. Fire away, dude.
Yeah, all right. Well, you know, scenario question here. If someone was to murder another person and they repented about it, would they still have the opportunity to go to heaven?
No, they would go to heaven.
Okay, but do you think that's fair?
Oh, you know what? Well, well, fair or not, you know, to our human standpoint, we probably are jealous of that because we don't think we're as bad as that guy. And it doesn't seem fair that he should get to go and I don't. But remember, God's standard is a little different than our standard, and his grace is probably a little bit bigger than our understanding of it. Because, Devin, the Bible promises whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. So you can be a murderer by committing it with an axe or by thinking it in your heart, and you still can have your sins forgiven. That's the bigness of God. That's the mercy of God.
It just sounds a little too easy for me.
Well, I'll tell you what, here's why it's not. It's because you're fighting against it. And the reason that it's not easy is because you got to swallow your pride and join the wretched club and admit, I'm a filthy, foul sinner and I need a savior. And dude, that's not easy at all.
Oh, yeah. You're right about that.
Yeah.
You're very right about that.
Yeah, that's a very difficult thing. But all we can ask you to do is ponder it today, all right?
All right. I appreciate the talk.
Devin, we're glad we met you.
All right.
See ya. All these days, everybody says it's easy to believe. It's easy to believe. Ho, I got to swallow the pride pill called me, and that ain't easy.
More witnessing next on Wretched Radio.
Here's your invitation to support SOS Ministries. They want to see a God-fearing, gospel-proclaiming church rise up across Uganda and impact the whole of Ugandan society. SOS Ministries hopes to accomplish all of this with community outreach, Legacy Christian Academy, the Ministry of Church Strengthening, and the Shepherd's Training Center to thoroughly equip indigenous pastors. So would you consider supporting SOS Ministries? Go to sosministries.com. sosministries.com.
Know your church fathers. Polycarp was a disciple of the Apostle John and the Bishop of Smyrna. He was a staunch defender of orthodoxy, combating the Gnostic heresies. Before his death as a martyr, Polycarp proclaimed, 86 years I have served Christ, and he has done me no evil. How could I curse my King who saved me? This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, Trish, where are you?
I'm at the mall, and I've got two people in front of me, and there's a friend, Marie. Well, she's my friend now. I just met her today. She's got a funny wig on, and what is that around your neck, like a handcuffs or something? And she's open to be on the air while she takes her phone and walks back to work. And what's your name? Cracker? Okay, so we've got Cracker, who's a backslidden Christian. Marie, you're just not sure about what happens after you die, right? She's not too sure. So we've got the backslidden Christian. They're both open to talk to you.
So do I get a choice between Marie and Cracker?
Yeah, you do. Yeah, well, Cracker is really interesting because he flat out just said he's a backslidden Christian. I don't know what you have on your hat, but it looks like it's cuss words or something.
I gotta go with anybody named Cracker. You gotta go for
okay.
That.
Okay, Cracker, hang on. Todd wants to talk to you. So I'm gonna pass this on to you.
All righty, let's give it a go with Mr. Cracker.
You're live on the air, Cracker.
Shall we?
Hello?
Cracker?
What's up?
How do you do?
I'm doing all right.
Good. Why are you called Cracker?
No, it's Cracker with a K.
Cracker with, like, Uncle Cracker?
No, that's some sort of confusing. There can't possibly be any similarity to the other.
Ah. So is that your given name? Is that what you were born with?
No, it's just one of my many aliases.
Ah. How many do you have?
The list gets pretty long. Probably got over 50.
How come you need so many alii?
Nah, you know, I just don't use your real name. Stay low to the ground.
For
fun that way.
For legal reasons?
No, I would be.
Alrighty then. Yeah, alrighty, fine. So, Cracker, you're a backslider, is that right?
Yes, I'm a backslider. I travel backwards in time through parallel worlds.
Wow. Alrighty, but you're a Christian backslider too, huh?
I don't know. I kind of have my face focused around that for a time, kind of how I was raised.
Yeah. What is it?
Keeping on the level.
Yeah. Hey, Cracker, I don't think that you can be a true Christian and then give it up.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, it's pretty hard to just kind of stop believing without really, I don't know, getting brainwashed at the age of 17.
Well, I don't know at 17 if you can get brainwashed. I suppose you can. People do get brainwashed, but at least, you know, you've got your wits about you.
For the most part.
Yeah. So, Cracker, here's why I don't think that you can actually be a Christian one day and not a Christian the next day. All right?
That's reassuring.
Yeah, what you probably were, Cracker, is a false convert.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That must have been when I was raised. I mean, you grow up that way, you kind of have a hard time just forgetting about it.
Yeah, it could be. If you grow up in that environment, you're inclined to believe what mom and dad believe. But that happens with a lot of things. If your parents were, they sold shoes, chances are you'd be into shoes a lot as you grow up. But if you really don't love shoes like mom and dad truly did, then you're going to fall away from shoes. And the same thing is true with Christianity. Just because your parents are Christians doesn't make you one. Now, you might be intrigued by it or interested in it because that was the talk around the dinner table, but it doesn't make you a true Christian. You yourself have to become a true Christian. And when you do, you won't ever backslide because there's no way that you possibly can or would even want to. Cracker, Cracker. How does somebody become a Christian?
I gotta give you gotta give your life to Jesus Christ.
I don't know what that means. Explain it to me.
It's been a while. I gotta pray to Jesus, to my God, to forgive you your sins and save you when the end comes.
Okay, Cracker. If I asked you this question, would you consider yourself to be a filthy, foul, rotten, wretched sinner? What would you say?
Not yet, but I'm working on it.
You're trying. All righty. I think I can prove that you are. You ready to go?
All right.
All right. In the course of your life, Cracker, today, how many times have you looked at a woman at the mall or elsewhere and had a sexual desire for her, thought?
Constantly.
All righty. Here's why. Because Jesus said that if you just look with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. So you are a constant adulterer, Cracker.
Don't forget about the guys.
All right, whatever it is, whatever your preference is, you look with lust, you're an adulterer at heart, okay? Are you with me?
I'm hearing you.
All right, Cracker, how many times have you been really angry at somebody? Flipped them off, said a nasty thing to them, just got really mad?
Daily. All right. I just did it to my mother this afternoon.
No, not to your mom. All right, so Cracker, the Bible says that if you're unjustly angry with somebody, you're a murderer at heart. You don't need to commit the act. Think it, and God sees it, because God's got a bead on your thoughts. He knows what's playing in your brain. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're doing. He knows what you failed to do. So you've dishonored your parents. You're an adulterer at heart. You're a murderer at heart. How many lies do you think you've told in the course of your lifetime?
I don't know. I was cleaning pretty heavily in 2006, but you got to figure that God has a place in his heart for Dexter, too.
Nope, he doesn't. He hates it. All liars will have their part in a lake of fire. Okay? Remember, I'm trying to convince you of something. Do you remember what it is?
That hell is a storage locker.
Nope. I'm trying to convince you that you're a filthy, foul, rotten, wretched sinner like the rest of us. Remember?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I had it, but I lost it.
That's why I'm here for you, Cracker. Now, Cracker, how many times do you think you've taken God's name in vain? Don't do it now. How many times do you think you've done that?
Tens of thousands.
All right. So, Cracker, here's what we got. You've committed at least tens of thousands of crimes because God says, I will not hold him blameless who takes my name in vain. Cracker, the Bible says you're a bad, wretched sinner. Agree or disagree?
But it feels so good to burn in hell.
No, you don't mean that. I know it.
I'm sorry. What was the question?
Would you agree with the Bible that you're a bad, wretched sinner?
Not a man. That book, it's an interesting set of something or another's, but so much time over the ages, it's hard to take it all as one factual phenomena.
You're avoiding the question. Would you agree with that book that you're a filthy, wretched sinner?
No, I'm sorry. I would not.
Really? So you blaspheme God's name tens of thousands of times. You look with lust at boys and girls. You lie. Have you stolen anything in your life?
Don't forget about the furries. Wait, what?
Stolen anything?
I just stole some stuff from my mom.
All right.
Some memorabilia.
And you dishonored your mom in doing that and by being mad at her unjustly.
Yeah, so, I'm just holding it for her.
Dude, it seems to me the evidence is pretty clear. You're not a good guy at all. You're a bad guy.
I said I was working on it. I'm kind of late in the day. I kind of living homeless lately. 8 weeks now, kind of being pushed at every job, every business, everything touched. Don't really have anything to live for. Bank accounts in the negative.
Well, I'm sorry for all of that, Cracker, but you do have something to live for.
It's not a justification by any means.
Right. You couldn't say that to the judge on your day in court.
Now I'm trying to get back there.
Well, there's going to be a much more important day in court. You'll have to face God. He knows everything you've done. Dude, you're in big trouble on Judgment Day, aren't you?
When I get to the gates and I'm standing outside, I'm going to tell him I was set up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he knows whether you were or not. And I don't think you were set up for all the lusting, lying, and murdering in your heart. Cracker, come to non-silly land for just a moment. This is important. Someday you're going to die, and your conscience should be screaming at you right now, I'm going to be in trouble. Do you understand that?
Man, enough ultra, you just don't think about any of that anymore.
You should, though. It's important, and you've got a conscience, and you know it. You know it. How bad do you think your life has been so far?
It's just horrible. Well, the year before wasn't so bad, and the year before that was kind of messed up, but he's just getting paid.
Cracker, listen, it's not going to be nearly as bad as hell. If God is just and he judges you and he finds you guilty, you're going. And as rough as your life has been, it's going to be a cakewalk by comparison. You're going to long for the worst day you ever had on earth. Cracker.
Hey, Dad, I don't know.
Cracker, listen. What did they teach you about Jesus when you were growing up in that house or you went to church? What did Jesus do so you don't have to go to hell?
I went to through grades, preschool through 10.
What did they tell you Jesus did so you don't have to go to hell?
He died on the cross.
There you go. There's the good news, friend.
Maybe, dude, if you believe that.
Whether I believe it or not is irrelevant. The question is it true? You've broken God's laws. You've got a savior. You've got a fine payer. Your day in court can be dismissed. You've got a kind God. I know you're going through a rough time, but he proved his love for you by dying for you, a wretched sinner, and he will forgive your sins, but you've got to repent. You've got to turn from your sins and put your trust in Jesus, and then he'll forgive you and grant you everlasting life. And I'm sorry, I can't promise you that life will be better. I can't give you a big toothy grin and say that life is going to be grand on this earth, and you're going to live your best life now. It might not get any better, but your sins will be forgiven, and you will be in a right relationship with God instead of an enemy of God. That's the good news of the gospel, and that's why you should repent and put your trust in Jesus for the first time in your life so that you can have your sins forgiven. Okay?
I hear you, man. A bit of a tirade, but
it was.
I'm pretty open-minded myself. I just don't see things so set and solid.
Well,
too much validity.
All right, Cracker, I can't make you become a Christian. It might have been a bit of a tirade. I can't force you to do anything. All I can do is share with you the good news of the gospel, and you've never responded to it because up until this date, you've never been willing to confess that you're a wretch and you need a savior.
Oh, I was saying that all day yesterday.
Well, against God, you're a wretch. Not just in a wretched situation, but you're a wretched sinner against God. Cracker, there's good news. Forgiveness of sins. You got to repent and trust. Will you at least think about it today?
I actually look forward to that aspect.
What?
Forgiveness.
You got to repent and put your trust in Jesus to get it, okay?
All right, man.
It's the only way, dude.
All right, man.
All right. Thanks for the chat.
What is that?
See ya.
This is Wretched Radio. Do ultrasounds really save the lives of babies? Yeah.
My pregnancy was unplanned. Abortion was in the back of my mind, but seeing my baby girl moving and hearing the heartbeat, it was so overwhelming. We can't wait to welcome our baby girl into this world.
One ultrasound, one saved baby. Would you please consider supporting the Ministry of Preborn? Just $28 will provide a free ultrasound to a woman who is considering abortion. They are saving lives. Lives every day. 80% of the time a woman sees an ultrasound, she decides to choose life. How many ultrasounds could you provide for just $28? Kindly visit preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched. Provide ultrasounds and save the lives of babies.
You are the peanut butter to our jelly, the shampoo to our conditioner, the butter to our popcorn. You are Wretched monthly gospel partners, and without you, there is no Wretched. So if you are already a gospel partner, we are so extremely grateful for you and your faithfulness. Every dollar you give goes directly into supporting Wretched and sharing the gospel with thousands. So thank you. Thank you very much. Now, if you're not a gospel partner, would you please prayerfully consider becoming one today? Visit wretched.org/donate. See, while our TV and radio programs are available to everyone, we need the support from our gospel partners to produce everything we produce. The more you're able to give, the more we are able to give away. So if you would consider becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner, go to wretched.org/donate today. That's wretched.org/donate.
Not to say I told you so, but I've been sharing with you how Tomorrow Clubs think kids camps in Eastern Europe meeting weekly to hear the gospel. Kids get saved, parents get saved, and churches get revitalized. Here is just one example so I can say, I told you so.
There is actually was a dying church, only two families. So this lady, she's a school teacher. Someone told her about this village, so she came, and believe it or not, she has about 40 kids coming to the Tomorrow Club from the villages around. So the whole church is filled with kids.
Love hearing that. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club in Eastern Europe? Kids are getting saved, families getting saved, and churches revitalized. $30 a month, 30 disciples. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. 2 Timothy is Paul's last letter before his execution. He encourages Timothy to persevere amid suffering. Paul had suffered for the sake of the gospel, but he also knew the beauty and power of the gospel. He charges Timothy to cling to and preach the gospel. When you face opposition, do not fear or be ashamed, but trust God and rely on His word. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, Trish!
Hi, I'm at the fair in Dallas today. It's very exciting. It's a great place to witness. And there's a young man working the hoop shot basketball thing, you know, where you got to put the basketball on the hoop. And
yeah.
No one was standing around. And so I asked him if he wanted to be on the air. And he said, sure. And I go, where are you from? I noticed right away he had a pretty thick accent. He's all Ireland. And I go, wow, how long have you been here in America? And he's only been here 6 months. He's never been on any sort of radio program, and he's totally willing to talk about his faith. He's a Catholic.
Oh, surprise.
And
well, could have been Protestant.
Yeah, sure.
A relief for you, Ray. No Muslims today.
Protestants good. Don't do the hoop shot?
No, never.
Okay.
And so he's Catholic. So I asked him, you know, what does a Catholic have to do to go to heaven? And he goes, well, obey the Ten Commandments. And I go, really? How have you done? He said, well, not too well. And I said, so what's going to happen to you? He goes, well, I think I'm still going to go to heaven. And I asked, why is that? And he said, because his good has outweighed his bad.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Jonathan.
The old scale system. So let's give it a go, if you
all
will.
Right.
We're going to have an accent nightmare now with Jonathan and Ray.
Jonathan, you're live on the air.
Hello?
Jonathan, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. You're from Ireland.
I am indeed.
Aye. So what's the difference between Catholic and Protestant? Can you help me out with that?
Oh, well, from where I'm from, there's a very big difference.
Where I
grew up, people think it's a lot about, I grew up in a very troubled place in Northern Ireland, with the trouble between Catholic and Protestant and that. But everybody
how old are you, Jonathan?
I'm 23.
Okay, well, when you're about one, it was really bad.
Pardon?
When you were just born, about 23 years ago,
yeah.
Ireland had bombs going off in London and Ireland and Northern Ireland. And, yeah, I remember that when I was in New Zealand. It was a big deal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's very true.
So it's got better it's got better now.
Yeah, it's got a lot better now. There's a peace process going on, although there's still ones trying to ruin that. So I know it's looking better. Where everybody's going forward now in a peaceful way. The paramilitaries aren't using violence anymore. They're going through politics. So it's going in the right direction anyway.
That's good. So, difference between Catholic and Protestant?
I don't really know.
What you don't know?
In my opinion, there's nothing I can really say like even there.
Okay, well, there's a theological difference when it comes to the Bible. Protestant, someone who really believes the Bible and what it says about going to heaven, says
yeah.
that there's nothing you can do to get yourself to heaven. Absolutely nothing. It comes by God's mercy. Catholics say there's something you have to do. It doesn't come alone by God's mercy, but you have to have works to earn
yeah.
your way there. So you're a Catholic. Are you going to heaven?
I believe so, yeah.
Do you think you're a good person?
Everybody else, not perfect, you know.
Yeah.
Done some stupid things in life, but I think I've done more good deeds than I have bad.
So what stupid things have you done?
Well, as you say, I grew up in Northern Ireland. That gave me plenty of opportunity to do stupid things. I was arrested a couple of times.
You got arrested. What about lying? How many lies have you told in your life?
Quite a few.
Quite a few?
I'm working to stay fair. I have to be able to lie.
Well, you're 23 and you tend to mature a little bit when you hit your 20s, but when you're in your teens, you do things that you know are wrong. So you have lied in your life. What do you call somebody who tells lies?
It depends what kind of lie.
Lies. I don't mean, Grandma, your hat looks nice when you know it looks horrible. I mean proper lies. So what do you call someone who tells lies?
Deceiving.
No, a liar.
A liar, yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever stolen anything in your life, even if it's small?
No, I've never stolen. That's one thing I never do.
You've been arrested? What were you arrested for?
Fighting and stupid things you got.
Fighting. So, Jonathan, you've never taken something that belongs to somebody else, even if it's small, irrespective of its value?
No, never. I don't do that. I mean, I'm honest as well, I tell you.
Hang on a minute. You just told me you've told a lot of lies. This could be another one of those lies. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yes.
Okay, that's called blasphemy. God gave you life, Jonathan. He gave you eyes to see his creation, ears to hear good music, taste buds to enjoy good food. He lavished his goodness upon you, and you took his holy name and used it to cuss, or used it as a swear word, as you would say. Yeah. And that's equating it with a filthy word that you express when something rotten happens to you. So it's called blasphemy, and it's very serious in God's eyes.
That is indeed.
Jonathan, Jesus said, if you look at a woman and lust after her, that is, you desire her sexually, you commit adultery with her in your heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Of course I have.
Okay, here's a summation of how you're doing with God, Jonathan. I'm not judging you, but this is by your own admission.
Yeah.
By your own admission, you're a liar, a blasphemer, and an adulterer at heart. So if you stand before God on Judgment Day and he judges you by the Ten Commandments, you're going to be innocent or guilty?
Oh, true enough. I'm probably guilty.
You would be guilty. So would you go to heaven or hell?
I think because I've done a lot of good things as well, I go to heaven.
Okay, well, look, let's just think about a civil court for a few moments. Imagine a man has committed very serious crimes, rape and murder, and the judge says, right, you're guilty. And you say, yeah, I am guilty, but there's been a lot of ladies I've been really nice to, and I give money to the Red Cross, and I'm basically a good person, and I do good things.
Yeah.
The judge is going to say, what are you talking about? Your good works don't wash away crime. They can't.
Yeah.
And it's exactly the same with God. You could give all your money to feed the poor and it would not wash away your sins. So if you died today, Jonathan, God wouldn't take into account your good works. He'd just look at your crimes. And the Bible says all liars live their part in the lake of fire. So you're in big trouble, huh?
No, really. God's also a very good forgiver as well.
Yeah,
God forgives a lot.
But he only forgives on a basis. Like a judge won't let you go from a court just because he's forgiving. If you've got a big fine to be paid, the fine must be paid, and then the judge can let you go. But he's bound by justice.
But at the end of the day, with God, I go to Mass three times a week. I do to the best of my ability, follow the Ten Commandments. I do as much good in my life as I do bad. So, and the average human being dies, I'd be your average person. I've done nothing. Have you ever used the Lord's name in vain?
I've broken all the commandments in spirit, if not in letter. But there's a way to be saved, and it's not through doing good things. And this is the big difference between Catholic and Protestant. And your eternity depends on your understanding of this. So let me explain it to you, okay?
Go ahead.
Just give me a couple of minutes and open your heart and listen to this.
All right.
Anything you offer God for his forgiveness is actually an attempt to bribe the judge of the universe. That's what the Bible says. It's like you saying, Judge, I raped that woman, and then I killed her, but here's $20 before you pass judgment. Okay, I'm just going to slip it to you. Nothing you offer God is going to turn his head. You have to face that law you violated. But here's where God's forgiveness comes in. You and I are criminals. We're guilty. We've broken the law. But Jesus paid our fine in his life's blood. On that cross, he suffered once and for all for you and me. He paid our fine. That means God can now legally dismiss our case. He can forgive every sin that we've committed, not because of anything we offer him, but because of his mercy and his goodness and his grace. Does that make sense?
It does indeed.
It's hugely important, Jonathan. Your eternity depends on it. Either you're going to trust in your good works to save you, which are bribery in the sight of God and an abomination to him, or you trust in him who died for you and rose again on the third day. And that's the only way your sins can be forgiven. So what you have to do is repent and trust in him alone. Just trust alone in Jesus. You know how you're trusting in your goodness to save you? Transfer that trust from yourself, your goodness, to Jesus.
I need to trust in Jesus.
Yeah, but what we're talking about is total trust in him, not in mass, not in anything you do, not in money you give to the church, not in your goodness, but in grace alone, by faith alone. Todd, do you want to talk to Jonathan?
Hey, Jonathan, how are you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. You know what? Do you understand that what he just shared with you is really, really, really good news?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, see, but here's a bit of a catch to it, if you will. And that is, you have to admit what the Bible says to be true, and that is we're really, really bad people, and we can't help ourselves at all. Would you agree with that?
I don't think we're really, really bad people.
Okay, then you're not ready to be saved, Jonathan.
I believe I am, but
okay.
We're not. I think who you are in a person, as a person, is good. If you're a good in person, it will get you through life. It's God's decision to say where you go after that.
Yeah, but
you know, I'd say you and the first guy I was talking to have used the Lord's name in vain.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Yeah, but see, we admit it, and we admit that we're criminals because of it. We're very bad people.
We're not criminals. We're
lawbreakers.
We're not lawbreakers.
Well, the laws of God are the Ten Commandments, Jonathan. Those are his laws, and when you break the laws, that makes you a lawbreaker.
There's breaking the laws and bending their rules.
Okay, so you don't think that you've broken the laws by lusting and by lying and by blaspheming?
Not. It depends on what extent you do it.
Okay.
I don't do it to a certain. I do it to a small extent.
Okay.
You know, okay, that's not the best thing. That's maybe not. Maybe isn't. You know, good. That's not good either. But at the end of the day, it's not as if I'm. You know.
Really bad. Let me leave you with a thought. It sounds like you're trying to get some things figured out, and maybe you've got yourself a guilty conscience to a degree because you're trying to go to church twice a week and do confession. Jonathan, I just want to plead with you today. Think about the Ten Commandments and that we are lawbreakers, and if you will confess that and repent and put your trust in Jesus, then you can go to heaven for free and you won't have to work yourself there because you can't. That's the good news of the gospel. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.